Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Somebody has said that there are two kinds of people in the world. People who divide the people into two groups and people who don't. It's common for pastors to divide a sermon into 3 or 4 points, and sometimes maybe even 6 or 8 or 10. This morning, based on this story of Jesus healing 10 lepers, I'm going to divide people into 4 groups, depending on how they respond to the question, "What do you take life for?" For there are those people who take life for granted. 9 of the 10 lepers in this story that we just read from Luke's Gospel took their healing for granted. Now, leprosy was the most dreaded of all diseases in the ancient biblical world. A couple of weeks ago when I preached on Jesus healing that leper at the base of the mountain in Galilee where he preached the Sermon on the Mount, I said that it was a disease, and I described how it ate away at the body from within, sometimes taking 20 or 30 years for the leper to die. A terrible, painful disease. I'm not going to say any more about that, other than to note that Dr. William Barclay, the great Scots New Testament scholar, in his commentary notes that Jewish law held that so terrible was this disease that if the wind was blowing down from a leper, he could approach another person only as close as 50 yards, that's half a football field, and asking for assistance. Jesus, in love and compassion, healed these 10 lepers. And they went on their way, taking their healing for granted. And when the one returned to say thank you, Jesus responded to the man, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give thanks except this one?" One of the great mysteries of life is this. Why is it that so many otherwise nice people are so ungrateful? There was a man that came home night after night after night. He wolfed down his supper. He then went into the den, watched the news, read the newspaper and the mail, and then spent the rest of the evening on the computer or watching whatever game was on ESPN. Never, ever a word to his wife. So finally, one night after years of this, she follows him into the den and she said, "Dear, is there something wrong with my cooking?" And he said, "Nah, if there were, I would have told you a long time ago." And then there was the commuter train at rush hour. It was packed. The passengers were standing in the aisle. And a very pregnant woman got on. And a man got up and offered her his seat. And she was so astonished at this courtesy that she fainted. And when she revived, she looked up at the man and she said, "Why, thank you." And he was so surprised, he fainted. Why is it that so many otherwise nice people are so ungrateful. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth in the first century, and writing to us in the church today in the 21st century, says in 1 Corinthians 6, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." What child has earned or merited all that the parents have given to him or her? What one of us as citizens of this country has earned or merited all of the blessings that we have? What Christian has earned or deserved or merited the salvation that God provides through Jesus Christ, his Son? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Well, if there are people who take life for granted, there are also people who take life for grasping. No matter how much they have, they continually want more and more and more. As Americans, it's said that we suffer from something called conspicuous consumption. That means that we have this desire to get more stuff than we can ever possibly use. Got a couple of questions for us this morning. If when we get home this afternoon and we kick off our shoes to watch the football games or read the Sunday paper, and the dog chews our shoes to shreds, will we have to go barefoot because that's the only pair of shoes we own? Are we wearing today the same set of clothes that we wore yesterday? And will we wear these clothes again tomorrow because they are the only clothes that we have? Now, we all know the answer to that. If we have more than one pair of shoes, or more than one set of clothes other than the ones we are wearing right now, we are among the 3% of the world's richest elite. 97% of the world today has either one pair of shoes or no shoes, and only the clothes that they are wearing on their backs right now. And I share this not to make us feel guilty, but to make us realize how richly blessed we are. One of the churches that I pastored up in Ohio, there was a member of the church who was a retired school superintendent. And he told me one time about attending an educators' conference over in India. And he said that one morning while he was at that conference, he came out of his hotel, and there was a little street urchin, a little boy 9 or 10 years old, who tugged at his sleeve and said, "Rich man, you give me $10? And his first response was to look at the little boy and say, "Oh, I'm not a rich man." And the little boy looked up at him and said, "You come from America. You live in rich country. You fly on big plane. You stay in big hotel. You rich man." And he said to me, "Reverend Jim, in that moment I realized I am indeed a rich man." Dr. Josh McDowell, who is a very popular conference speaker, very popular as a speaker on college campuses, author of a ton of books, two probably most outstanding are his Apologetics for the Christian Faith, Evidence That Demands a Verdict and More Evidence. He writes that when he and his wife were young adults, they were first on staff of Campus Crusade for Christ. Like many young couples engaged in mission and ministry, they didn't have a lot of money. And they would have a regular date night. They would go to the mall, and they would buy ice cream cones. And then hand in hand, they would stroll down the mall, and they would look at all the stuff and displayed in the stores, and they would squeeze each other's hands and say, "I'm so blessed. I don't have to have that. I'm so blessed." There are people who take life for granted. And there are also that group of people who take life for granted. Always whining always complaining. Doesn't matter what the situation is, the glass is only, is always half empty. I had a fraternity brother in college. The only time he was ever happy was when he was miserable. If he had a fight with his girlfriend, or he got a less than anticipated grade on an exam or a paper, we all had to hear about it for 45 minutes at least. Then he'd wander away, and he'd come back 15 minutes later and would have to hear another half hour of it. We used to say, Joe, that's not his name, I'm keeping the identity a secret. Joe's really happy today, he's miserable. Now, I'm not going to make a whole lot about this point, except to share a little bit of verse that I came across a while back. It's not the greatest poetry, but it does make a point. Today, while riding on a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her, she seemed so glad. I wished I were as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and used a crutch, but as she passed, she had a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine, I have 2 feet, the world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who sold them had such charm. He said, it's nice to talk with folks like you, you see I was born blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine, I have 2 eyes, the world is mine. And then as I passed along the way, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped for a moment and I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he couldn't hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears, the world is mine. With feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I'm blessed indeed, the world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Yes, there are people who take life for granted, and for grasping, and for griping. But there are also people who take life for gratitude. To the one man who returned and said thank you to Jesus, Jesus responded by saying to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And what is faith is if it is not a grateful response to God for all that he has done for us. As we gather together and worship on this Sunday, and as we gather in our with our families and friends on Thursday, what do we not have to be thankful for? For homes that are warm, as I said to someone before worship, this is more like the Thanksgiving weather we're used to up in Ohio. But for homes that are warm, for food, lots of it, we'll all on Thursday eat so much that we will walk away from the table stuffed. For careers that are challenging and demanding, for a retirement that's fulfilling, for friends and family, maybe some special celebration in our families this year, a wedding, a graduation, the birth of a child or a grandchild, a special anniversary, for recovery from health after a significant and a very long illness, for the privilege and blessing of living in a land, a country where freedom and opportunity are unparalleled in all of human history, for being a part of the body of Christ, the community of faith, this place where you gather to worship and pray and serve and minister and love, and for us, God who loves us infinitely more than we can ever comprehend or imagine. When we think about it, what don't we have to be thankful for? In the year 1637, a German pastor wrote a hymn. In the year 1637, Pastor Martin Rinkert was pastor of the Lutheran Church in Eilenburg in Saxony, Germany. The year 1637 saw the end of a terrible, terrible conflict in Europe known as the Thirty Years' War. 3 times The warring armies had invaded and ransacked the town of Eilenberg. And after the war ended, it was followed by plague. And the plague was followed by famine. In the year 1637, Pastor Martin Rinkert conducted 4,000 funerals, sometimes as many as 50 a day. I've been in the ministry 46 years, and I can't even begin to comprehend that. And as the year drew to its close, plague and the famine abated, and Pastor Rinkert wrote this great hymn of thanksgiving and praise. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things have made, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms have blessed us on the way with countless gifts of love, and still is of us today. And let us stand now and sing this great hymn of faith and thanksgiving as our hymn this morning after the sermon, and let us sing it as our prayer this morning.